forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's December 26, 2012, and this is episode number 53. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. For this episode, I spoke with Michelle Pastor, an independent documentary filmmaker based in Los Angeles. Her short film, Jobs for Rent, chronicles the efforts of three 20-somethings, an artist, a lawyer, and a Starbucks employee, as they try to kickstart their careers and find their way in the world. I am talking this morning to Michelle Pastor. And Michelle, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I wanted to talk first about your film, Jobs for Rent. I was curious, what motivated you to make it? How did you get the idea?
I was in my mid-20s at the time, and I had gone to leave California to Arizona and do real estate investing with my ex-boyfriend at the time. And then when we moved back to Los Angeles, where I grew up, I didn't know what to do for a living. So I thought, okay, I had always been freelancing in the film industry before the real estate investing. Let me make a film, you know, own my creativity. And then it evolved into a film about establishing a career in your 20s, since that was relevant to me.
And so you talk to a fine artist, a painter, a lawyer, and someone who, at least for a large part of the film, was working as a Starbucks shift manager. Very different stories. Were there any clear conclusions for you that you drew about that process of trying to get established?
I guess to answer that question, the lawyer, for example, had $160,000 in law school debt from going to a private law school in Northern California. And her passion was being this Olympic athlete, this runner. And to really truly be an Olympic runner, I mean, you have to have a trainer, you have to train full time. And she wasn't able to do that because needed to maintain her law job to pay off these loans. And so I guess in establishing yourself for 20-somethings these days, it's kind of scary to trap yourself into something that is so specific in a way, unless you know that that is truly what you want to do for the next maybe, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. She made it clear, too, that at the time that she entered into those loans, it wasn't completely clear to her exactly how much of a burden she was going to have and for how long. And then the Starbucks shift manager talked about how she felt, the way I interpreted it, was a little misled at college. She went to McAllister and studied, was it photography and graphic design, and was under the impression that she could make a living. And there was this sense, at least from both of the women, that they hadn't really had a clear view of exactly how hard it would be. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I mean, when I graduated from college, I would agree, yes. When I graduated from college in 2002, I felt the same way as both of, you know, as she felt. College wasn't specific enough for me, where I wasn't really told to make myself marketable, to make myself stand out from the other students job-wise. Never had any type of class or mandatory class, you know, about the real world. And college is a big step in terms of trying to establish your career, you know, from that of a high school education.
Right. What did you study, just out of curiosity?
Film with a Spanish minor.
Right. So you feel that there just wasn't enough of an emphasis in your college coursework on what the real world would be like, what kind of job skills are actually marketable, that sort of thing?
Yeah, because, you know, I went to the UC system. So, you know, we had to take certain required courses, but within those, you could take electives. And I remember taking a course of the history of the atomic bomb to fulfill one of my general eds. And I mean, that class could have mandatorily been something related to the job world, whether it's how to interview, you know, in the proper way, or how to network properly, or that type of thing.
you know, making one's way in the world has always been difficult, right? Do you think something really is different, you know, for, as you said, you were in your 20s when you were making this. I'm gonna say your generation, although that makes me feel old to say that. Do you think something's really different?
Compared to my parents' generation, yes. And, you know, from my own experience with my own parents and from reading articles about the baby boomers versus 20-somethings, right? Because it was more traditional. Get married, have a job, have a career, stay with that career for X amount of time. My mom has transferred careers since, but she was a court reporter while we were growing up, and that was her career for several years. And I mean, you know, I log onto Facebook and friends, you know, will have a certain job listed for a year or 8 months. Then I'll see that they have another job listed for another year, you know.
Yeah.
And I myself fall into a category of freelance work, and which is kind of a different ballgame, but
yeah. So what do you think has changed the most? Is it just the conditions out there, that having a college degree now does not necessarily translate into a good, stable job? Or is there also something in our aspirations? I mean, I started WorkStew because I realized there's so much that I want from work. Part of it is making a living, but I'm also looking for something to be really fulfilling. And that's sometimes a really hard equation to make work. And I wonder sometimes if our expectations for what we're going to get out of our jobs have also changed a lot. Do you feel like they have versus, say, your parents?
I think our generation, you know, wants to feel like they're not wasting their time, like they are doing something that is fulfilling them. And maybe our parents' generation wanted that too, but they didn't necessarily do anything that it took to get there. I mean, my dad always says, my dad is a psychiatrist, and he says, oh, you know, I really wanted to become a brain surgeon. And his father was a psychiatrist, and so maybe he felt that was the safer route.
Right. So what are you doing these days?
I freelance in documentary film for the most part. So I do social media and co-produce for documentary filmmakers. And then I'm also, this whole year I've been going on 365 dates.
Yeah, so let's finish up by talking about that, because I read your piece in the LA Times, and as I told you, just the very thought of it was exhausting to me. How's it been?
It has been a wild ride that I'm so grateful for, because I have been single this whole year, as it turns out. And what if I didn't go on at 365 dates, in terms of, well, if I was still single, I would have kind of, quote unquote, wasted this year, whereas I got something out of it from a personal standpoint. And these dates included, you know, potentially dates that I could be attracted to the guy and vice versa and lead to a relationship. And then they also included what I coin as documentary dates, where, you know, I went out with a gentleman in his 70s and had a Skype date with him.
Right.
I use it as an excuse to step outside my comfort zone. So I asked a valet parker out. I asked the pizza guy out at the restaurant, just kind of people who struck my interest. You know, I want to ask a homeless guy out so I can buy him lunch and kind of get to know his story.
And what's the most important thing for you with this? Is it, you know, potentially finding a relationship, or is it the experience and the documentary that you can make out of it? Is it possible to rank those things in your mind?
I mean, I see them as 50-50, in the sense that from a personal standpoint, I was dating somebody last year, and that's kind of where this idea came from when we broke it off. And I wanted to be in a relationship again. So I was thinking, well, why not be positive and proactive about it and have a fun time? And now it's turned into, well, now I just want to be happy being alone, because, A, you can't force being in a relationship, and the fact that I'm still single and it's December, you know, I have to be okay with that. And then from the documentary standpoint, you know, if I can learn and be inspired by something that the 70-year-old said over Skype, well, I want to share that with other people, because that's what I love doing, is sharing stories. So it's two-tiered, and I don't really know how to rank them.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Michelle Pastor. You can view her film at jobsforrent.com after making a small donation to the production via PayPal. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to WorkStew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next regularly scheduled episode is due out in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the WorkStew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.